'Tis the season one finale. Fa la 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 la. I have news for you, Nick.
What?
We don't own the rights to that song or any song. Like, you and I collectively own zero rights.
I don't know. I listened back to this podcast and I feel like we own the rights to a ton of songs now. Our library is quite impressive.
Should we release an album? The Royal Boys? EP?
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Stay tuned.
Nick, welcome to the season one Royal Boys finale.
Can you believe it?
You ask me that literally every episode.
I know.
And yes, I can.
I can too. I finally can too.
We made him a believer. What a journey it's been. If you are listening to us, thank you so much. This is our 13th and final episode. It has been so fun to do this. If you're just tuning in for the first time, we invite you to go back, listen to all our interviews with our great guests as we break down all the season two of the Royals of Malibu episodes. But today we are going to be breaking down the season finale.
That's right. And we've had so much fun making this podcast. Of course, with you, Chris, you've been such a star, and it's so fun to work with you. But there are a few people we need to thank, because this would have not been possible without them.
For sure. First and foremost, we want to thank our producer, Emma DeMuth. You might have heard her doing some of the ad reads on this and the Royals of Malibu. She's been super helpful. As has everyone at Diversion Audio, including Lou Pellegrino, who's our editor and sound mixer, Scott Waxman, the CEO of Diversion and executive producer, and Erica Farmer, who's the vice president of marketing at Gemini.
We can't thank you guys enough. You've been so amazing. So thank you for letting us do this. Thank you for supporting us, and thank you for making this happen.
Absolutely. And thank you to our listeners. And Nick, before we jump in, we have one more big announcement.
I know.
You asked for it. We listened. We now have merch.
Yes.
Merch. Let's do it. Royals of Malibu merch now available on the Royals of Malibu Instagram. So go to @TheRoyalsOfMalibu on IG. You click the link in the bio. Or if you are a Patreon subscriber, you could just head to the link on Patreon to see the shop. There's some really cool stuff on there. So get your Trom gear. I'm going to get some stuff, Nick.
I'm going to get some for you. You should get some for me, and we'll just pretend we didn't know it was going to happen.
Why don't we just get stuff for ourselves?
I don't know.
That
it's
we get
fun
the thing
to
we
give
like.
Gifts.
Okay. I'll get for me. You get for you. When they get delivered, we'll swap them, we'll wrap them, and then we'll pretend we're surprised.
Love that.
But we're not very good actors, so we might not buy it.
No, that's not true. We're fantastic. Speaking of fantastic, can you introduce our guest? Because this is a big one.
Yes.
The biggest one.
It's the biggest one. It's literally the biggest guest we could get for this podcast.
No offense to our sister.
No offense. I meant offense. She is a social media superstar. She is a
juggernaut.
She's a businesswoman. She's a brand ambassador. And she is an actor who you might recognize as the star of the Royals of Malibu. Please welcome Alyssa McKay!
Hi, sorry.
What are you doing slumming it with a bunch of dudes like us?
No, I'm so, this is the highlight of my week. I'm so excited to reunite.
Oh, I'm so sorry you had such a shitty week.
It is a reuniting because we haven't seen you since the summer when we finished recording season two.
Yeah.
How's life been?
Life has been great. Just, you know, working and posting and working some more.
How many times a day would you say post? Yeah.
A day? Over 100. Like on Snapchat alone.
God.
Yeah.
100 times a day. And are each of them like thought out, or are some of them just like, oh, look, there's a butterfly. I'm going to take a picture of that and post it.
I'm very ADHD, and also like my Snapchat serves as my like stream of consciousness. So it's just everything I'm thinking throughout the day, which sometimes gets me into trouble, but it's just very like whatever I'm thinking in the moment, I just say it and post it. But yeah, there are often times I find butterflies and I also post that.
I love it. I will say, I think that the term influencer can be negative, and I think that people who make money or get fame from being influencers sort of can have a negative rap. But what you do requires so much work and so much thought and so much careful curating skill. And skill and crafting and talent. And it is truly mind-blowing and so inspiring and so impressive.
Thank you.
And on top of that, the fact that you could translate that into acting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll be completely honest. When we got into this podcast, we didn't know what to expect. And then we hear, oh, we got this, like, you know, the Snapchat influencer is going to be the lead. And we're like, oh, okay. See how this goes. And then we walk in and you're a freaking superstar. It was amazing. And you worked so hard. You worked so hard. You were so professional. You made all of us better. So thank you for that. Clearly, this show would not be anywhere near where it is without you. So thank you.
Thank you. You guys are so sweet. It was so fun working with you guys. I just love everyone so much on the show. Like, I think about it often, and I always like follow everyone on socials and see what everyone's up to. It's very fun. I feel like I have like a little family from the show.
Rank us.
No.
First to last. Come on. All right. I'm number one, obviously. Everyone knows that. But like, just give us number three. Who is number three?
Wait, but I do have a question. What is your, do you have like a favorite episode? Do you have a favorite moment maybe from recording?
Well, I don't know. A lot of my favorite episodes were in season one. I just really, like, I love the dynamic that Ella and Easton had in season one, especially, like, in the middle, like, when, you know, he was getting into trouble. Like, I remember one of my favorite scenes to record that I was really looking forward to was when they were outside of the club and he was getting hustled by, you know, these dealers, he owed him money, like, whatever. I just think that was like a really pivotal moment for their relationship and really like steered it into the direction that it went into in season two. And I also just like those intense, like darker moments. And then like actually recording, one of my favorite, do you remember when we were in the booth and Matt asked Francesca to like ad-lib a rap?
Yes. And that beatbox was, like, too, right?
Boxing. Yeah, that was like one of my like favorite moments in the booth.
I remember that. I was there.
Oh, that's so funny. I don't remember that.
I don't think you were there for that one.
Oh, that's so fun.
I think it was like a scene where we were all in the club.
Yeah.
And Reed is too, he's not cool enough to go to the club.
Yeah.
I think that's what they said. I think they said that.
Alyssa, how did you get involved with the project?
It's actually very interesting because I was emailed by someone on the team because they knew me from social media. And I used to like do these rich girl raps, and she had like this like very valley girl, like very distinct speaking voice. And initially I was reached out to do, you know how we have like the intros and outros, like last time on the Royals of Malibu. That's all they wanted me to do.
What?
That's all they wanted me to do. I'm so serious. They
just the trailer voice?
Yep, that was literally it. That's all they wanted from me. They didn't even offer me an audition for any roles, nothing. And then we're on the call, and like, this is why I love my manager so much, because they fight for me so hard, like to the point where I'm like almost like this. And we were on the Zoom call, and my manager, he goes, "Have you cast for Ella yet?" And I swear, everyone just like stopped talking, ignored him, and kept talking about something else. And he went, "Excuse me, like, did you guys cast for Ella yet?" And they were like, "Well, yeah, we've been auditioning, and we've kind of narrowed it down." Like, they were at the very end of their audition process for her, basically. And he was like, because right after this call, I had an Uber scheduled to go to the airport because I was traveling abroad. Like right after that, and he was like. If like she can get you an audition in before her Uber, like, can you guys just consider it? And they were like, okay, yeah, you know, like a pity audition.
Yeah.
So I sent it in. I Ubered to the airport. I touched down in London, and I hadn't slept for like 28 hours. And they said, "Can you hop on a Zoom callback like right now?" And I was like, yeah, sure. And I like blacked out during the audition because I was so tired. And then I found out 3 days later in Amsterdam that I booked it.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool.
Good on multiple people. One, good on them for correcting their mistake and realizing that you were supposed to be the one. Good on your managers for fighting for you. And good on you for freaking following through and blacking out during an audition.
Somewhere there's some young actor who was told that, you know, it was her role. They just had to dot some T's and or dot some I's and cross some T's. And then you swoop in. Oh, that poor bastard sitting at home like, ah!
Yeah, and I am not, I did feel very bad about that. But
no, hey, don't.
It happens to all of us.
Yeah, mostly me.
Can I ask you, what about Ella is most similar to you, or what do you most admire about her?
Well, she and I are most similar in the fact that we both are cam girl. Oh, you were asking Alyssa. I'm sorry.
I mean, honestly, when I read like the breakdown for Ella, immediately I was just like, just so you guys know, like, we are pretty much the same person. Because, you know, I grew up in foster care, and I feel like a lot of, you know, what Ella struggles with not, you know, having those parental figures, and, you know, I relate to that a lot. And I did, like, for the most part, raise myself, and I'm very tough the same way she is. And I think, like, that idea of having found family, you know, like, family, like, blood doesn't determine that. And I think that that's something that isn't really, like, portrayed in media super often, you know, like, that idea, you know. And growing up in foster care, it was, I don't know, something that I was always searching for. Like, how come I feel so alone in this? And so when Ella came along, I felt very validated. And yeah, we're pretty much the same person through and through.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. And I remember a couple months ago, there was a great article, I think it was in the New York Post, about you and your story. And it just makes what you're doing that much more impressive. It's impressive under any circumstances, but knowing your background and where you came from, and some of the challenges and obstacles you had to overcome is, it's really amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
So my favorite part about Ella is...
No, I don't want to hear you talk. I want to get into the episode. This is a good one.
Oh, fine.
Right? We could ask more questions along
yes,
the way.
Yes, I'm joking. Let's do it.
It's a killer ending.
Nick!
Episode 13, a killer ending.
Bum, bum, bum.
The last episode of season 2. We come into this episode, Brooke is still in the midst of her launch party. Ella, it's all you, Alyssa. You're narrating. You just got beaten up in a bathroom, and you're kind of like shaken up. Mm-hmm. Brooke is going nuts. You were recounting the whole story to Reed. He's like, she's going to kill someone tonight. Have you ever been in a fight, by the way? Because when I'm listening to this, I'm like, I feel like Alyssa would beat the shit out of Brooke.
I actually have been in a few fights in middle school because I was Chris's jaw on the floor. Yeah, but yeah. I was always the one that got beat up. So no. And that's very embarrassing to admit. But I'm a lover. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah, me too. But you step at me, y'all. I'm coming at you. You know what I'm saying? What were the fights over in middle school?
I honestly, I can't even remember. Like, it pains me to say that was over 10 years ago. But I remember one time.
10 years ago? Oh, I was in college. No, I wasn't.
No, you weren't, Chris. Oh my God, you were not in college.
You're so fucking old.
I was not. I was 4 years out of college. I was one college removed from college. Sorry, Alyssa, go ahead.
When I was in like 7th or 8th grade, this girl, her name is Jenna, and I don't know what she's doing now. I hope she's okay. But she grabbed the back of my hair and like bashed my face into a metal pole. And then when she saw me, she was like, oh, I thought you were someone else.
No.
Yeah.
Did she say sorry?
No.
She got like 3 days in school suspension. I think I was suspended for like 2 weeks or something. It was like something crazy. And I didn't do anything. I was just, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, it was terrible.
Oh my goodness. That's why we need 3-step authentications.
Were you staring at a pole that it was like right there, or did she like drag you and find a pole like in the vicinity? No,
it was like
she carried her own.
Yeah, like the school was like, there was like a slight ramp, and on the ramp, and that's like to get into the building, and you like all the kids would like line up outside the door waiting for them to like, you know, let you in at 7:45 or whatever time. And I took public transit to school, so I would often be there early just standing around waiting in line. And there's like a pole, like a metal railing. She like grabbed back of my hand and just like pushed it into the railing. I was scared. I was like, this bitch is going to curb stomp me. Like, I was like, I'm going to miss some teeth.
Why
like,
would you not be scared? How, that is so scary.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that that happened to you.
I'm sorry that happened too, but I love the idea of like the girl that she thought you were, like being behind you, being like, I gotta go. Just yeah, like slowly backing away. Oh,
yeah. That is insane.
I'm sorry that happened. That stinks. Speaking of this fight though, what was it like recording with Burgundy? This fight scene, was that fun? Did you guys like get physical at all, or was it?
It was super fun. Like we don't like actually like ever touch each other, and I did film like the behind the scenes and posted it. And I remember like all the comments, like the top comments was like, I don't know how you do this. I'd be so embarrassed. Like, yeah. Not an ounce of embarrassment. Like, I was really anxious about it. Whenever I have to do those physical scenes, and I it's like an out-of-body experience. Like, I just black out because I'm like, I want to do a good job. Because you know what's more embarrassing than having to, like, pretend to get beat up is, like, pretending to do it and doing it bad. So I'm like, I might as well.
Absolutely. You know, I'm doing a lot of sketch comedy right now. Every week I have a live show. And the thing that is the most valuable lesson I've learned is – understanding that what I'm doing is ridiculous, but if you don't lean into it all the way, it's then you look even more stupid, because literally, then you're just doing this ridiculous thing without any commitment, and it's like, so you got to go all out.
And people ask me a lot about Alyssa, some of our more intimate scenes, and and they're like, how do you not laugh, how do you take it seriously? And it's like, well, what other choice do you have? You have to, you know, that's what acting is. You have to put yourself in these characters' shoes and, you know, honor them truthfully and see what comes out. Because otherwise, it's not going to work. And I think that's what makes our podcast so strong, is that people like really commit to it and it's believable. And my favorite thing is people are like, I can't listen to you be intimate. It weirds me out. And I'm like, that means I did a good job in my mind, because if you think it's real or if it's so uncomfortable, then I think we nailed it.
Well, and also I feel like that like nervous energy, at least for me, like I would just like channel that into like Ella and how she's probably reacting. I mean, because, you know, when you're being intimate with someone who you really like and you're really attracted to, like you're, you know, young like that, you're going to be like nervous and giggly. And I think that kind of like putting some of like your real emotion and channeling that into the scene like really helps bring it to life.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
And I remember I had, over the course of the last two seasons, I had a bunch of physical scenes where I was fighting, you know, either in a fight club or fighting, you know, whomever. And I would like be punching the air and making the effort sounds. And then I'd look up and you see the whole booth and everyone's staring at you like you're a psychopath. But it was fun.
Well,
I am a psychopath. That's true.
Speaking of psychopaths, Dinah, she's a psychopath.
So Dinah, I think, is one of the two actors in this entire series that I've never met.
You never met her?
No, I never met her. And I never met Isaac, which we can get
to. Yeah, I never met Isaac
later.
Either. There are a few people that like their voices that come in. And I thought that they just like did it in post. I'm a firm believer that if I don't see you, you're not real.
You always had trouble with Santa Claus in that way.
Yeah. Dinah, whoever you are, you're wonderful. Alyssa, you did meet Dinah?
Yeah. She was honestly one of the most talented like voice actors I ever seen in my life. Like, you could tell she's been doing
okay.
it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
You know what?
Okay. Jeez. Okay. Yes, moving on.
Come on.
She was great, though. Like, she was like, oh, so do you want her to have – what dialect of British accent should she have? Like, that level of, like – I was like, she was really good. And then she would do, like – she did some of, like, the teacher. Like, she played, like, the teacher or the principal or something. Like, she had a few of those,
like – Oh, yes. Headmaster Behringer.
And when I would hear, like, the code switch to the next character, it wasn't just, like, accent or, you know, dialect, like, whatever. Like, she was, like, a whole new person. It was very, very impressive.
Yeah. Well, wow. That's how people react when they find out that I play Tam. They're like, that's so crazy. How do you drop in? How do you change your voice? But I just sort of become a different character.
Totally.
I actually think the person who played Tam was the same woman who plays your mom.
Is that true? Erica? Erica
Dawson? I think so. Maybe.
Yeah, she was.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Kudos. Weird. A lot of people doubled up.
Yeah.
Not us.
Well, they asked me to do Easton as well because they, you know, as you know, they were looking for anyone but you. And ultimately, I felt bad for you. So I was like, just let Nick do it.
Anyway, I hate you. Ella tells Callum that she is moving in with Dinah. So that's why Dinah is there. That's like a big scene. And props to Armin, who did a really great job acting here. He was like, went through all of this grief steps. It was like sad, then angry, then like, we're going to fix this. Mm-hmm. And Ella's just like, nah, we out. And then this is probably one of my favorite parts of the episode. Isaac comes over to Callum's like, hey, I know we just met, but your wife is throwing like furniture and is just being absolutely nuts. And maybe you should just go handle that. And I love that because it's just, he's like so out of place.
He is, that is funny. By the way, we skipped over a part of the episode early on where after Ella comes out of the bathroom and Brooke has beaten the hell out of her, Reed finds her and they have this really sweet moment where Reed's like, what happened? I'm going to go talk to her. But then we see Reed be like, I want an answer. You know, like he's been giving her space to Ella space to find, you know, what she wants to do. But he's like, okay, enough is enough. I want an answer. And Isaac does the same thing a little bit later, but Reed's.
Yeah, he does it right here. Yeah.
Yeah, but Reed's.
He's like, what's left for you in Malibu? Come back to San Francisco with me. These royals do a number on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Reed's strategy is more like, you know, you want it, girl. You know, he's like a bit more confident about it, whereas Isaac is a bit more on the defense. I think
which tactic do you think is more effective, Alyssa, from a guy or for anybody going after anybody? Is it the confidence? Is it like the
yeah, I would say confidence for sure. I mean, I think that Reed does a very good job of not like going into the cockiness, like, you know, too much. But I think in this moment he's just very confident, and I think that is a big reason why, you know, Ella is attracted to him.
Yeah.
So here's the big question. Alyssa McKay was choosing between Isaac and Reed. Who would she pick?
Reed. Obviously.
Oh.
Yes. Why?
It's like no question.
You owe me $20, Nick.
Okay. Here's another one. Alyssa McKay is choosing between Easton and Reed. Who does she choose?
What?
That's
what?
Hard because
what?
I like funny, and I don't find Reed that funny. Like, he's charming.
Because he's not funny. Chris has taken his headphones off and left the podcast. We finally did it, folks.
We kicked Chris off the podcast. That's
now
fair.
The royal boy.
Well, as a Reed stan, that's upsetting. But as Chris, that's comforting because for most of my life, all I had going for me was that I was funny. So to hear.
And you really didn't even have that.
Yeah. And that was a stretch. So to hear someone say funny is better, that makes me happy.
Yeah.
Nick, who would you pick, Ella or Reed?
I don't know.
I know. Let me clarify. I mean that sexually.
Reed.
Yeah. Okay.
Obviously.
Yeah, duh.
Obviously.
Fifty high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios in Wondery comes The Competition. Host Shima Oliahi was Nevada's contestant nearly 20 years ago. Now she is returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks with 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after? Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Okay, so Isaac comes in. He, again, like, both Reed and Isaac have been like, listen, we've given you the space. Enough is enough. You got to make a decision. Clock's ticking. Isaac, I'm going back to San Francisco. Reed is like, enough. I can't take this anymore. And so the clock is ticking for Ella.
Mm-hmm. Tick tock on the clock. DJ, make it stop.
Yeah, stop is right. Stop is the operative part of that song because that's what you need to do right now. Then Ella's sort of stressed out. She goes and hides in a coat closet and she finds Valerie there.
And Savannah.
Yeah, but my favorite part is Valerie's. She's like, Val, what are you doing in the closet? And she's like, honestly, they think I'm the coat check girl and I need the tips. So, which I thought is so funny. Have you ever been mistaken for an employee at a place where you're not employed, either of you?
Yes. I shot a Lowe's commercial a couple months ago, and I was a Lowe's employee in it, and we did it at an active Lowe's, and between takes I was wearing the vest and I was just like sitting in my chair and people were like, hey, where's the plywood? And I was like, I don't know, man. Get me a water. But yeah, I was asked a lot.
There was one time I was walking at a restaurant. I was walking to the bathroom and this old woman, like this old rich white woman, was like, excuse me. We haven't had our order taken. And she like pulled me aside and I was actually waiting tables at the time, not at this restaurant. I was a patron. And so I was like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. What can I get for you? And I listened to her entire order and then I went to the bathroom and sat back down. So I don't know where she is. She might have starved to death, but that's what you get.
She left a terrible Yelp review. You ruined a small business. Ella says, anything like that ever happened to you?
No. A lot of it, I don't know. I get mistaken for being like 16, so maybe they just think that I'm like a lost child in the store most of the time. It's never happened.
They just like take you up front and make an announcement.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really funny.
Well, I do love this scene. I love that coat check scene. But what I really love is, so Savannah comes out and she apologizes to Ella. She's like, I'm sorry, I was a demon. And she like, you know, vents about how she can't really be there for Easton, who just obviously overdosed and went through all that. So she gets really vulnerable. But what I love about this is the acting between you, Alyssa, and Hannah Montoya, because you guys were like, Hannah obviously was a new addition this season, and you guys came in like best friends. She was there every day, sitting there in the booth. You guys like were so great together. And then when you got to act together, I felt like it really, that friendship, that whatever you guys made, like really came to life and it helped that scene come to life. Were you friends for a long time before this?
Yes and no, because her and I actually followed each other on social media for like over 2 years, almost 3 years, maybe longer than that. And then we both end up getting managed by the same management company, which they have like a very small roster. It's like three people, me, Hannah, and like one other person. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like very slim chance that would happen. And then because of that, like when we would go to like go on work trips or something, we spent a lot of time together, this summer right before the Royals of Malibu. I actually like helped her like with her audition. Like I was her reader during the audition where it was like a scene between her and Ella. So it was so kind funny. It was perfect, but she's great. For Christmas, my managers are sending her and I to Nashville to go see Morgan Wallen together. Like we're really close. Yeah.
That's awesome. Do you guys still wear your friendship bracelets?
I don't have mine on right now, but I do have it somewhere. And whenever, because she had green nails, I had pink nails. She got a green friendship bracelet and I got a pink one. And so we were like, oh my God, this is Cosmo and Wanda. So every single time we see anything like green and pink next to each other, we send it to each other and we're like thinking about you.
That's so funny.
Yeah, she's great.
Nick, well, tell you inspired Alyssa.
You inspired my Christmas gift to Chris was we got friendship bracelets.
Oh, that's so cute.
It says TRB, the Royal Boys. The website picture, they were much bigger and more masculine than they are, as you see right here. For listeners, it's an extremely thin little rope around my wrist. But yeah.
I think dainty jewelry on men is cute. That's in for 2024. So don't worry.
Okay.
It's so all you heard
all
it here.
You, all you men, take note. Be funny and wear dainty jewelry.
Yeah.
Them's the rules. I'm embarrassed to say I'm not wearing mine right now, Nick. I apologize. I forgot.
It's literally the most appropriate time you could have been wearing
it. It's actually the only appropriate time to wear it. The last appropriate time to wear it. And I'm embarrassed. But I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I think your friendship with Hannah really came through and throughout the whole season, but especially in this scene when you guys have your little come to Jesus moment with each other. It's very nice.
Well, there's an even better friendship moment. And this is actually might be my favorite part is when we're all in the freezer.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember recording this. I was like, this is insane. Why are we all in a freezer? So the way we get there is you're talking to Savannah, Ella is, and then Reed texts her and is like, hey, we found the original sex tape, which is huge news. And so they all meet up. The whole gang meets up in a tiny little freezer. And I remember us all pretending we were freezing and cramped. Do you remember doing that in the booth?
Yeah.
Chris, were you there for that?
I was. I just like everyone shivering and pretending they were freezing cold. Also, that booth was so hot. We were filming in like June and it was so hot. And so we're all like sweating bullets and like, you know, tucking our arms and shaking our necks like, can we get out of here? But that's acting, baby.
Yeah, that was fun. I love that scene.
Talking about the booth, you were very kind to film a lot of the stuff that we did in the booth and post it. Was there any clip or video that got more the views or love than others?
You know why you're asking this question, because it's the one of you, you dick.
No, it's not. I thought it's the one of you, actually.
Let me double check.
Well, we'll see.
It was... because, I mean, a lot of them are like the ones that I'm looking at right now are like 16.9, 16.6, 19 point, like almost 20 million views. So
yeah.
Oh my God, that's insane.
In retrospect, they're all just like insane. I don't know what the highest viewed one is. I'm pretty sure the highest viewed one is 19.2 million. And it's the one where the sound's not working, but it's the one with me and Chris.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Oh, yeah, but honestly, they all did. They all did insane, and people really like. I love all of like the intimate moments. Like I loved, like you know, like I mean, any of like the arguments. I really like, but I like the vulnerability with like Easton and Ella, and then you know like Ella and Reed outside of the club when she's like, you know, I don't need you to rescue me. That's not you know your job. And all that stuff, even the scene between me and Savannah, where she was like, we were never friends. Like, I think the great thing about it is like all of the scenes that I uploaded, so many people would like swipe up and be like, and comment and be like, you know, I relate to this so hard. I think like one of my favorite ones, this wasn't one that got the most views by any means, but one of the ones that was like the most special to me was the one where, maybe special isn't the right word, but the one where we find the whatever it was, the Xanax or the benzos, whatever, in Easton's pocket. And like I put it on wide angle and I thought that we could see everyone, and it was just me standing there, and it was really awkward because I had like one line. Guys, what's going on? That was it. And the rest I was just standing there like this. But so many people were like I relate to this, and you know, I don't know. And that's just really special to me to see how many people relate and care about it. Very special.
That's awesome. Did the people that were engaging, did they ever, is there like, did they ask for anything in particular? Or were they like, we want more of this or we want?
I mean, a lot of it was like sexual, like where's the sex scenes? Basically, they like to see me. Stuff. It's actually crazy. I was at I gotten recognized by my voice a few times in public, which is very strange. Like I was at this Canadian music festival, Oceaga. You heard of it?
I haven't.
I have not.
I went.
Is that an
like,
old man alarm?
It might be.
No, I don't think so. It's like not American, so I'm like maybe you know because I never heard of it. But I went on a brand trip, and it was awesome. It was so cool. But I was in the front row, like waiting. I can't even remember who I was waiting for. I was waiting for someone to perform, and this girl behind me, and it's a French speaking province of Canada. So a lot of the people don't really speak English very well and have like a very heavy French accent. And this girl goes, I heard you talking. I recognize you from the Royals of Malibu. And I was like, you're kidding. It was crazy.
That's insane.
Really cool.
Yeah.
That never happened to me at all.
Well, recognize from the show, I'm like, oh my god, like that just shows like how impactful it was. So it just
yeah really
cool. Yeah, and how good their ears are.
I know. I was like, are you serious?
That's crazy.
Yeah, I've never gotten recognized for this. I did get like 3 followers though.
Yeah, I got a handful. Well, that's the funniest part. It's like, you know, these TikToks have tens of millions of views, and Nick has 200 followers on TikTok. So,
well, I go on like once every 3 months. But one time, Alyssa, you remember this? You're like, hey, I posted like a clip of us, and it's been re-recorded like a million times. And yes. I went on there, but Alyssa, like, I would be like, you would have to explain everything to me. This is old man alarm.
Old man alarm all day long, dude.
You're so fucking old.
But like, I'd be like, what do you mean? And you're like, well, they took our original sound and then they lip synced over it. And I like couldn't understand it. And then you sent it to me and I was just like blown away and a little bit creeped out. Because there was one guy in particular that did it like 30 times.
I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about, yeah.
And then I tried to do it, and like 2 people watched it.
Did this guy who did it all these different times bring different like nuanced flavors to it, or was he just doing it over and
over? He just did it in front of different mirrors.
It's like the same mirror. It's just like people, I think, and the strangest thing about it is like I've seen people do this before, like take, you know, scenes from movies, TV shows, whatever, and like they do the scene. These people are thirst trapping with the audio, which is like,
yes,
like strange. Like when you're scrolling on your For You page and you hear, so you think you could have me, and it's like your voice, and you're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
These people are like, there's 70,000 videos to that sound. It's
that's
insane.
Crazy. That's crazy. I don't even know that many people. But also, when I reposted it, some of my friends are like, oh my God, I've heard that many times before on TikTok.
Yep.
I had no idea that was you. And I was like, I had no idea you had a TikTok.
Yeah.
So
I want to make one. I want to make one of Nick. Nick, I should do one of you and you should do one of me. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Let's do it, Chris. Wear your fucking bracelet.
That's the end of part 1 of our season finale. Please be sure to listen to part 2 for the rest of our interview with Alyssa McKay.